Well, you got your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Good. We're going to read this whole chapter here this morning. And when I get done, we'll be done. And I titled this morning, Family Talk. And I hopefully you'll understand this as I go through this for the next maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. During this hour, I'm going to be dealing with the family. The family is very near and dear to me. I believe, honestly, I believe it's a gift that God has given me to be able to talk about. And so I'm going to do that the next couple of weeks, and hopefully your heart will be blessed for these things. So let's begin reading in verse number 6, and it says these things, or chapter number 6, verse number 1. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth milk and honey. O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Verse number 7 is what we're going to focus on this morning. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest in, by thy ways, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." Let us have a word of prayer, and then we will go through this lesson this morning. Lord, again, we are grateful that we're able to be here this morning. God, I pray that the message that you have laid upon my heart, not only in the Sunday school hour, but this hour and tonight as well, God, I pray that your truths would be revealed. Lord, as I step up into this pulpit, you know my prayer is always as this: Lord, step into the pulpit before I do. So God, I pray this morning that if there's somebody here that is going through some personal struggles in their life, Lord, whether it be maybe for salvation, they have no idea what it means to be saved. Maybe they're struggling in their family, as we're going to be dealing with this morning. God, I pray that you would these words be able to use for them to make application to their lives. And we ask you in these things, in your name, amen. Well, I felt like I really ran through the passage this morning. Now I got to take my breath and slow down. Amen? I had a lot I had to get through this morning, so I wanted to get through this rather quickly. Family talk is what we're going to be dealing with this morning. Today I'm going to talk about how to keep the Christian family together. As you notice these past several months, and I know you might be getting sick and tired of it, But that's okay. But God has laid this upon my heart for a specific reason, and that is unity. Not just unity in the blood family, but unity in the blood family of Jesus Christ as well. And so these next few days, weeks, hopefully I can show us the importance of keeping a Christian family together. Now more than ever, Satan is attacking not just the spiritual family, but he's attacking the family at the home as well. And I hope through this, we can discover some ways to keep Satan away. Not just from here, but we can keep him away from our families at home, and we will be better for those things. Amen. Here in Deuteronomy, we see that the Israelites were instructed to teach their children with diligence. And that was found in verse number 7. It says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." What are they supposed to teach them? Found in verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That commandment is to love God with all of your heart. And they were to teach their children these things. But how can we get the whole family on board with this? And that's what I'm going to take some time to deal with this morning and next week as well. This can come by giving the family habits for us to get familiar with. And I'm going to give you a list of habits this morning that I hope that you'll write down, and I hope that you take it home, and I hope that you begin to practice it with your family, and I hope that it'll be beneficial for you during this time. But we need to have some habits to get familiar with things. I'm not saying this to be mean, but I need to say this. But this should come from the leader of the home. Habits that are formed in a home should come from the leader of the home, which is the husband of the home, which is how God designed that. And so I'm not saying to be mean, but the leader needs to be setting these habits in place. Amen? And I'm honestly scared today for families because of this reason right here. There is very little time for God. And there's very little time for God because of the habits that we have created for ourselves, the habits that we have allowed ourselves to be put upon our family. And those habits, unfortunately, will take us away from God. And so with that being said, we need to develop some other habits, some godly habits, some spiritual habits, so that we can remain tight as a family of God. I believe there's also a lot of confusion for kids today, mainly because they don't have a good balance in their life. And I'm not saying this about church family, but I'm saying this about families that are out there. Some families have no idea what it means to serve God all the time because they're being driven back and forth from place to place. And so there's a lack of balance in their life. And I bring this up for a particular reason this morning because of this. Hitler changed the world because he was able to influence the kids. If you were to look back in your history book and you wonder why all that took place during that time, it's because Hitler was able to get to the kids during that time. Today, our kids are being even more influenced with the help of others. It's sad that some parents are allowing their kids to decide their own gender. That's a habit that needs to be stopped inside the home. I was going through pastor's notes this past week, seeing some old messages that he preached, and I was just astounded on pages after pages after pages about gender reveals and all those things. It's just truly amazed about those things. But we have parents allowing their own kids to decide their own gender. See, there's another influence that's taking place out there. And that is a whole other subject, but I just wanted to mention that briefly this morning. I won't get into the rest of that, and all of you people say amen to that one. Habit number one that we can do is this. Show our children what it's like to genuinely spend time with God. Number one habit that we need to get into this morning as a family, not just the family at home, but I'm talking as a spiritual family as well. We need to show our children what it's like to genuinely spend time with God. This will come about by them seeing us spend time with God ourselves. And how are they able to see us spend time with God ourselves? And it's by simply doing this, and that is to do it openly. Do it openly. I was talking with Brother Ziner here a few weeks ago, and he was giving me some advice on some things and counseling me on some things, and I appreciated that so much. But one of the things that he said just stuck out to me, because Chad, he goes, I really enjoyed just walking into your dad's office every time that I got into town, and as I went to the hotel throughout the night and I came back the next day, every single time I walked into your dad's office, your dad was doing this. He was studying and reading the Word of God. And that made such a great impact on his life. And so that's why I say this morning, it's something that your children, my child, that they need to see us doing, and that is to do it openly. It shouldn't just be a part of the daily checklist. Oh man, I got to get the Word of God out, and I got to spend time so that I can cross this off on my daily checklist, and so that I can feel good about myself. It's not about fulfilling that daily checklist, because that's what it comes to be at times. And I will say this, and trust me with this, people can see when it becomes just a checklist in your life. And so it needs to be done openly, but it also needs to be done with sincerity as well. Allowing God during that time to really speak and minister to your heart. Allowing your children to see how important it is that spending time with God is important to you, and you're willing to give up things in life so that you can have a more intimate relationship with God. And what that is going to do, that's going to allow our children to see how important God is in our life. They're going to see, hey, no longer are the things of this world are important, because that's what normally keeps us away from God, is the things of this world. We're all designed that way. We're all guilty of this. We all get caught up in the limelight of this world, and it takes our time away from God. But they need to see that we're willing to give up those things, because they need to see the sincerity in our hearts and lives of what it truly means to spend time with God. And it will show in your life. I've seen in my own father's life the importance of spending time with God. I will never forget this. A majority of you folks were not around during this time, but there were some folks around during this time. By the way, if you didn't know Pastor in his 30s and 40s, you missed a pastor that was a Bible thumper, pulpit pounder, throwing song books at people. No, he never did that. But you missed that part. But there are some things that happened in his life that has always stood out to me. And I begin to see this and begin to even make more of an impact on me this week as I was thinking about the sincerity of studying God's Word. I remember one time, Pastor was preaching from this pulpit. And those that were here that day will remember this. If you don't, it'll come back to you. Where Pastor accidentally dropped his Bible from the pulpit. And I saw immediately tears running down his eyes as he began to bend over and pick that Word of God up. And he began to place it back in front of him. He just began to cry. Why did he cry? Because he knew the importance of spending time with God was. And he was afraid that it showed disrespect for God during that time. And there are some other things that took place. But I saw from an early age in life how important it was for not only for my mother, but for my father, to spend time with God and to do it openly. Why not treat it like a checklist? Because God is the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who gives us the peace. He's the one who gives us the joy to handle the things in our life. Well, what things are you talking about? The things that seem impossible to handle at times, including a checklist. Not only should this be done individually, but it should be done together as a family. We should have our own time of where you and I of growing closer to God one-on-one. And then as we develop that relationship with our wife and we have children and all those things, then we begin to bring that out into the family. Have that family one-on-one time with God's Word. It will be beneficial to you. The greatest times growing up for me was doing family devotion. I know Christy and Jeff and my other siblings, they remember those times. I remember those times very well because we all met early in the morning. We didn't have time to brush our teeth. We all sat down on the couch and we listened to the instructions from my father as he got the instructions from the Word of God. It was a great time. It created a deep spiritual bond, not just between with mom and dad, not just between our siblings as well, but it also created a deep spiritual bond with our Lord and Savior. And I'm thankful for those times. And then after those times of great devotion, as we were able to sit around and discuss the Word of God, Dad did something else. He would always do this. Okay, what did you learn from the devotions today? I was always thankful that my siblings went first because I can piggyback off of them. I was a little bit younger, so some things didn't make sense to me. And so, yeah, what Jeff said, yeah, what Christy said, I'll take that. But I remember those times. It was important to me. But we all took something different away from the Word of God during those times. So create that one-on-one time and then begin to have that spiritual time, that time of growth in God's Word as a family. The second habit that we can get into is this. Find a way for the whole family to use their gifts in the ministry. You know, God has called you to this church for a reason. You know, God did not call you just to come in and to sit in a chair and just to sit back, okay, well, let's have the Word of God preached to us. We'll hear the Word of God, and then we'll go about our way and have a nice week and come back and just repeat the process. No, God brought you into this church so that you can exercise your spiritual gifts. And your spiritual gifts that you have is not to bring glory to your family or glory to yourself, but your spiritual gifts are designed to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And what a great habit to form as a family to come in and to be able to distribute your gifts throughout the church. Get your whole entire family involved into the ministry. Even with kids, it's never too early to start in this area. Well, what can I do to get my young people involved? Just start getting them involved. That's what you need to do. You know, I'm thrilled to death as we go about on Saturday mornings, as we do this once a month. You know what the fascinating thing to me is that takes place is the young people that's involved. And they're beginning to learn their spiritual gifts, and then they're beginning to exercise their spiritual gifts, and then they're going out there, and then they're figuring out, hey, this is scary. God, I need your help. But the fact of the matter is their gifts are being used. Get your whole family to use their spiritual gifts. I believe one of the problems of the church is failing today is because kids are not involved in the ministry. I believe it's important to get young people involved in the ministry. I'm going to give you a little bit of a story here. I can remember years ago, we had our bus route. I am so thankful for that bus route. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we saw a young lady who came from Missouri who was on our bus route, who had the church made such an impact on her life. And she was here to help celebrate pastor's homegoing. But I can remember years ago on our bus route, kids from the church were used to knock on the doors. I remember this because I was one of those kids. You know, I always drove the church with mom and dad during those times when we lived on 20th and Avenue D. And I remember coming in here, and we had our bus driver. I believe Dallas was our bus driver at the time. And I remember getting on that bus, even in the cold days, how they used us to get off that bus and begin to go knock on the doors and then to grab those kids and be able to walk them back to the bus. It's never too early to get your kids involved in the ministry. Matter of fact, the earlier you get them involved into the ministry, the more comfortable they will become as they get older. And I would encourage you to do those things. Through that, I also remember many great relationships were formed. To this day, I still know people from those bus routes, and I will see them in this town from time to time, and here's what they ask. Hey, man, it's so good to see you. How's mom and dad doing? Every time I see them. How do I know them? Through the bus route. How did that happen? Because I was able to get involved. Well, you're just knocking on the door. Yeah, but I was being helped in trying to figure out and discover my spiritual gifts. So it's never too early to get folks involved. The best way for them to use their gifts is this, is by seeing you, the parent, using your gift for the ministry. You know why some kids don't get involved into the ministry and use their gifts? Because they're not seeing their parents use their gifts. Every single one of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior today has a spiritual gift. And unfortunately, it's not being used. And we need to allow our children to see the gift that God has given us. And we need to allow our children to see that gift being used for the ministry so that that can be an influence in their life. And then when we're gone from this world, they're going to turn around and they're going to use their spiritual gift in the church and they're going to continue the process. They're going to have kids and they're going to teach their kids to use their spiritual gifts. They're going to get involved in the church. And that group of kids, they're going to teach their kids to use their spiritual gift and get involved in. You see how it continues to go? But if we don't do those things, the church will fail. And so we need to utilize and we need to use our gifts, and our children need to see us using our gifts in the church. By not using your gift, you are showing your children that you're not invested in the Lord. By using your gift, you're showing your children where your investment is at. Some today have no idea what their gift is, and I believe it comes from this because they're not invested into the church. There are people here that have great gifts today. I'm just going to not name people, but I'm going to name some gifts that we do have. Some people have great gifts of being an encouragement. I love coming in, and I love seeing people who have a smile on their face because a smile on my face is not natural. It takes more muscles for me to smile than it does to frown. That's just how my face is designed. Matter of fact, the older I get, the more of a frown I get on my face. It doesn't mean I'm not happy. I am happy, but I love being able to come into a church and I see people using their gifts being a great encouragement. And that just does something for me. Some have a gift of a great voice, and you're lifting your voices up to the Lord. And some have a great gift of being able to teach people. But we need to utilize those things, showing that you're invested in the Lord. The point is, as we continue to go through this, we need to start forming some better habits so that we can teach our kids the importance of the family of God. The third habit that we need to live is this: a lifestyle of being a believer from a place of sonship. We don't have to strive for God's love because it has been freely given to us. Also, our children will benefit most from seeing you live from a place of wholeness and completeness in Christ. They need to see us living that lifestyle. By the way, who knows our lifestyle better than anybody else? It's our children. Our children know when we're real about things. Our children know, hey, they know if church is important to us. Our children know if the Word of God is important to us. Our children know if the prayer is important to us. They know those things about us. They know when we're real and they know when we're fake. They know those things. They see the struggles that we go through. They see when we are real and when we're not real. Allow your children to see the fruit of your relationship with the Lord. This will be the strongest testimony that you can give them. I just rehearsed just a little bit of my father's relationship with the Lord and how an encouragement that was to me and what a great testimony that I'm able to look back on my father's life because of his love for his heavenly Father. Sometimes they don't see the relationship with the Lord mainly because they see the influence that the world might have on you. Again, we're trying to develop healthy habits for our kids to follow. The fourth habit is this: share your testimony. Share your testimony and encourage your children to share theirs as well. Amen? If you are saved, you have a testimony and it needs to be shared with others. You should never feel like your testimony isn't as great as someone else's. I used to feel that way for so many years of my life. As I grew up in this church and I heard testimony after testimony, I heard people say, I was saved from drugs, I was saved from alcohol, I was saved from a life of prostitution, I was saved from those things. And glory to God, I was brought out of the depths of hell and now I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I don't have that testimony. I didn't go into drugs. I didn't go into alcohol. I didn't go into the lifestyle. So I just grew up in a preacher's home and I just have salvation. Then I begin to realize my testimony is just as exciting as that person because I was saved from those things. And so we need to be sharing our testimony. We need to be sharing what God has done in our life. And being proud of the fact that God saved us and not bringing bragging about ourselves during that situation, but bragging about God. That's what we need to be doing, sharing our testimony, developing that habit so that when you go out into this place, out into this world, and you can begin to tell others about Jesus Christ. That is exciting. Doug here has had a tremendous change in his life. And you know what he's doing? I know this because I talk with him quite a bit. He's sharing his testimony with people that he comes into contact with. That's what it's about. Sharing your testimony. By the way, be happy and secure in your testimony. Share it often. Share it often. But there are many here today, I'm going to be honest with you folks, and I'm not saying this because I'm mad. I'm not saying this because I'm being mean. But this is the reality. There are some here that I've never heard of your testimony. I've never heard of how you came to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your own children probably have never heard it. It needs to start in your home. You need to tell your children what God has done in your life, and you need to share it with your church family as well. And I want to be honest with you, I've been compelled so many times. So many times have I been compelled just to have an evening service where we open this up and we begin to rejoice on how God has saved our life. And I think that would be a great service to have. And we can just walk up here one after the other and not have to worry about trying to fill time, but just allowing the Holy Spirit begin to work and the individuals begin to get up here and say, man, I got gloriously saved. And we don't even have to go into great detail, but we can just walk up here and say, God saved me from hell, and now I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah, thank God for that. I've been compelled so many times to do those things, but I've yet to do those. Your testimony is important. Share it often. I'll be honest with you, folks. I get excited to hear about how people got saved, how they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That never gets old. Why do you think I tell my testimony all the time? You guys can probably know the exact day and the exact year when I got saved. Because I tell it so often. I'm excited what God did in my life. I'll never get over that excitement. I'll never get over that joy of how God saved my soul from hell to heaven. It should be rehearsed over and over again to the fact that others can tell your testimony to other people. Hey, yeah, I know how so-and-so got saved because I've heard it so often. Hey, let me tell you exactly what God did in his life or her life. Again, it's not done to brag about yourself. It's done to brag about God, what he has done and what he is doing for you. The last thing that I want to get through this morning is this, the fifth habit that I believe that we need to form in our families to keep us closer together. Don't shy away from questions. Instead, look for answers together. Kids love to ask a lot of questions, do they not? You grandparents that have new grandkids, you know that they love to ask questions. Matter of fact, mommy and daddy pawn their kids off on you so you can answer those questions because they can't take it anymore. And so you become the answer man for them. But they love to ask a lot of questions. Why? Because they're curious. I will say this. We might not always have the answers, folks, but we can be sure that the Bible always has the answer for us. And what a great habit to have as they begin to ask us these questions. We can sit there and say, hey, let me tell you, Johnny. Let me tell you, Sally. Let me tell you what God means by this. And then you can begin to open up the Word of God. And you begin to show them exactly the question that they ask and the answers right there. By the way, the Bible has answers for everything in life. Every single thing in life, the Bible has answers for. We can model what an active relationship with God looks like for you by implementing these habits into your life. And as you do that, God will take care of the rest. Again, why should we develop these habits? For this reason. If you haven't gotten it, I hope you get it right now. Because Satan is on the attack. I'll never get tired of telling you folks that Satan is trying to attack this church. I'll never weary of getting tired of telling you to beware of Satan and what he's wanting to do. Why is that? Because the target is the family. The target's the family. And he's trying so hard to destroy it. He's not only trying to destroy it just in the homes outside of here, but he's just trying to destroy this spiritual family. And we only get one chance in life. And so we need to make the best of it. And I believe we need to start making better habits for our children. So that, as the Word of God says here in verse number 7, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We need to be teaching our children some different habits in life. Amen? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know really how to end this service with an invitation, but I'm going to allow our pianist to come forth and maybe play a verse or two. And if God has spoken to you in any way, shape, or form, I would encourage you to come down to the altar. Let's have a word of prayer. And when I get done praying, she will play and the altar will be open for you. Lord, again, we are thankful that we're able to be here this morning. We thank you for this time that you've allowed us to have. Lord, I pray as we have allowed so many other habits into our lives to come in, and we've taken those on, and it's allowed us to put you on the back burner in some areas in our life. And Lord, every single one of us are guilty of these things. None of us are free of that. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to realize, even if our children are out of the house and now we have grandchildren, Lord, we still have a job to do. And that is to continue to develop the proper spiritual habits that we need to have in our life so that we can continue to serve God together. And as we leave this world, that too will continue to go on. Lord, I pray that you just work and bless in these next few moments. And we ask it in your name. Amen.